All right, church, how are we doing on this first night of our praying and fasting? Doing good? All right, well, thank you, Modesto, for that. And it does paint a wonderful picture, right, of what it means to be grateful, to show our gratitude, right? And so I want to open up with a verse from Mark tonight that kind of shows us who we are naturally, right, before we could even get to a heart of gratitude. And so that's Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. And it says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." And so that's who we are, right? That is our default state. That is our natural state. But here's what the Lord had to say. Ezekiel 36, 26, and this is the theme verse for the week. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And so we see from our natural state, the Lord wants us to makes us into somebody different, right? Something that is different, something that aligns with him, and that is a heart of flesh. So before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this week, Father, this first night of prayer and fasting, Father, as we get to kick off talking about this week's theme, gratitude, but what it is tonight, Father, that gratitude brings, and it brings us a changed heart. It brings us a humble heart, Father. And so as we go through tonight, Father, as you have placed these things on my heart and on my mind, Father, may we be attentive to these things, Father. May we not just, you know, walk away from tonight or any of these nights, Father, as that didn't apply to me, Father. Every single week, these things apply to us as you are speaking through us, to us through your word all the time. So, Father, we pray these things. Pray that you be with us and help us understand these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So gratitude is one of those words that we typically don't really give much thought to, right? It's an easy word to use and it sounds simple, but when you really slow it down and you kind of take a step back, you take a look at the bigger picture of what that is. What is gratitude, but through the lens of Christ? We as brothers and sisters of Christ have experienced this gratitude. We know it's not just simply being thankful, right? We know it's not simply good manners. But when we look at God's word, what we see is gratitude flows from something far deeper than just words. It flows from the heart, as Modesto just painted that picture for us, right? That gratitude was flowing from her heart. The brokenness of knowing that she was a sinner and the gratefulness that a sinner is saved and forgiven. A truly broken heart becomes a changed heart. In Ezekiel 36, God speaks to a people who were what? They were spiritually dead. They were stubborn. They were resistant. And these people didn't need a motivational speech, right? They didn't need to go to buy a self-help book. They didn't need better habits or more rules. They needed a new heart. That same truth that applied to them also applies today. If we want to talk about having a heart of gratitude, we must first talk about the condition of our heart before God. I opened up with Mark 7. It tells us the condition of our heart, right? Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And so God is speaking to Israel in exile, right? They have broken covenant, they've chased idols, and they've hardened themselves against him. And God doesn't say, like, "Hey guys, I need you to try harder," right? "Go back and look at those commandments and try harder," right? "Figure this out." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "I will give you a new heart. I will replace the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh." And this is God's work, right? This is not a work that we do. This is his transformation. Stone is hard. It's cold. It's unresponsive. It doesn't feel. It doesn't listen. It's not malleable. Right? But flesh feels, flesh responds, flesh can be shaped. And it's from that new heart of flesh, where our gratitude is born. So that brings me to the first point. A heart of gratitude is a changed heart. But before we can get to a grateful, to being grateful, we have to ask ourselves a question, right? Before we can ask, are we grateful? Can we ask an honest question? Maybe something that's a little bit challenging. Maybe that's something a little bit comfortable. And the question is, has our heart actually been changed? And that's what we're talking about, right? These weeks of prayer and fasting are about that very thing, about our changed heart, about being thankful to the Lord and giving him our worship. Now, those things can be done. Why? Because a heart of stone can speak. A heart of stone can use biblical words. A heart of stone can show up to church. A heart of stone can serve in the ministry. They can do these things. That's what a heart of stone can actually do. But a heart of stone cannot produce genuine gratitude. Gratitude flows from transformation. It flows from the heart of flesh given to us spiritually by God. The changed heart discerns that, hey, the things that we have, the things that we have been blessed with, were not deserved or were not earned by our own merit, that these things are gifts, right? These things are blessings. But as we learned, our natural desire or our natural posture is the way we opened up, that we're evil, right? Gratitude isn't natural to us due to our fallen nature. Our default posture is entitlement, self-focus, and it's self-justification, right? We can go down the list of these things. So if a heart of gratitude is a sign of a changed heart, then what is a changed heart? It's one that's no longer absent of who? Of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that he's crucified, that he died for our sins, that his blood does atone for our sins, and that he rose again, then guess what? You are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And that means one thing. That means the flesh no longer rules over us, right? The flesh still exists. We still experience it, but it doesn't rule over us anymore. In Galatians 5, it said, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then this is what Paul had to say regarding our flesh versus the Spirit back in Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh. Why? Because we are born again, right? We are made new. But in the Spirit. And if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although this body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Right? So the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. The mind that is set on the flesh has a heart, is a person with a heart of stone. And a heart of stone resists that conviction. This is why people seem so blissfully happy in their sin, right? They don't know nor understand sin. Their world of stone hearts can explain away, right, and justify sin. And they justify it based on what? It's their own measure. It takes a heart of flesh to create a heart of gratitude. A truly grateful heart is evidence that God has done something inside of us. Right? So what does this take? It takes two things. And Modesto opened up with that very thing, right? A broken heart. And then it gives us a humble heart. In Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken heart is not a defeated heart. It's not a heart that's hopeless, right? It's not shame-driven despair, right? That's what we would think a broken heart is, especially in this world. And that's the worldly view of what a broken heart is, right? But a truly broken heart is one that does what? It agrees with God about who we are, right? About our position before him. That's what a broken heart does. I agree with you, and I am disgusted and devastated by my own sin. That it's even a shame sometimes, right, we feel to even be speaking to him because of how disgusting we are. And so that's what it is. It's recognizing our position before him and our need for a savior. When we recognize it, when we recognize sin, we agree with the Father. So that's when we should take action, right? That's when we repent. We turn away from the direction from our former life and we redirect completely the other way, right? Once we see how far we have missed the mark, grace comes from, once we see how far that we have missed the mark, something that we've never thought about, but once we recognize that, right, we see that grace comes from something that was a never once a thought to becoming absolutely our everything, right? Grace was never a thought when we were living in the world, but once you recognized it, right, it becomes our everything. And so grace, right, his grace given to us, right, his love given to us to want to transform and change our hearts gives us that so we can be grateful, so that we can be humble, which brings me to point number two. A heart of gratitude is a humble heart. And Jesus gave us that blueprint. He says in Matthew 18, and this is what Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus gives us a powerful picture here, right? Of humility. If you guys remember, the disciples are discussing, having a little bickering match, a little whatever argument, a competitive speech, right? About who is the greatest, right? Who is the greatest? And they're asking him, who is the greatest? How can one become the greatest? And even though they're disciples, they're still struggling with the flesh, right? That's a fleshly action right there that we're seeing. How can I be greater? What makes me better? And Jesus does, grabs a child from the crowd, sits him in the middle, and says, unless you're like this child, right? Unless you become like this child. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? He says, unless you turn, right? So we have repentance. And what is that response that he wants from us? He wants us just to respond, right? Jesus responds to their question by defining greatness, which is becoming childlike, which for us should be, we should come unapologetically humble, right? Children come dependent, they come trusting, they come empty-handed, they come loving, right? They come wanting. That's how we should be coming. A humble heart is one that is childlike, and you cannot have gratitude without humility. Our fleshly pride tells us, I earned this. Our spiritually new life that is making us humble says that you have been gifted this, that you have received this. A humble heart understands that salvation, forgiveness, patience, provision, so on and so forth, you can keep listing things, that these are all gifts, blessings from the Father. When our hearts of stone are transformed to hearts of flesh, our vision is forever changed. And we can now see life through a lens that the world cannot see. And gratitude becomes the very thing that reshapes how we live. Every day that we are invited into his presence, that is his mercy, right? Us being able to come alongside one another, serve along one side another, all to the glory of God is his grace. And this is how a humble heart sees their position before the Father. So do we have a heart of gratitude in our service? Do we have a heart of gratitude in our worship? Gratitude should change our focus, right? Now that we are Christians and now that we understand what gratitude is, that should change our focus. We should be more faith-focused, more Christ-focused, more disciple-focused, more heavenly-focused. And a grateful heart, it should always shift our focus. So what we used to complain about and what we lacked, we now are grateful to what we have been given. We're no longer complaining about what we lack. Our focus goes from ourselves to our Savior. We go from self-entitlement to humbly giving him our worship. We as believers in Christ shouldn't be concerned with ourselves like the disciples were, like we just read about in their who's greater, right? We shouldn't be concerned with greatness or achievements here in this life or the next, because greatness is already found in humility. In James 4:10, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you." No one needs to exalt oneself. God has already destined every single one of us for that very greatness. Not in the way that we think of it worldly, but we are destined for that very thing. So we don't need to boast in it. God promises a new heart. Jesus calls us to childlike humility, right? True gratitude is evidence that the transformation has taken place. So I leave you guys with a question. This is about gratitude. This is about a changed heart. This is about a humble heart. So I want to ask, it's not about do I attend, it's not about do I serve, it's not about do I sing or do I lift my hands up during worship. Those things are great and we should do all those things. But we should really be thinking about what kind of heart am I bringing to the Lord? What kind of heart am I bringing today? Are we leaving the nonsense at home? Are we putting that to the side and coming grateful on Wednesday, on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on a Saturday morning, whatever days we come, right? These days that we come, are we being grateful? So what kind of heart are we bringing? Because that's the kind of heart we bring to serve the Lord. So are we bringing a heart that's soft and malleable, or is it still stone? Are we humble or guarded by pride? Are we grateful or are we entitled? When we come to God, broken and honest, he draws near, and we must align our hearts with his. Our hearts of gratitude should reflect that of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So be a heart that serves because it's thankful, a heart that worships because it has been forgiven, and a heart that is humble, knowing that everything that you have is a gift and a blessing. Amen.